This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is part two of our Max Destruction WrestleMania movie review of Ready to Rumble. Without further ado, take it away, Scott.
Yes, sir. And oh, what a movie it was too. All right, so this movie is Ready to Rumble. Me and Ken are still hyped from watching WrestleMania, and we were like, hey, let's go back to an old Grady, so bad that it's good, Ready to Rumble, based on wrestling fans, directed by Brian Robbins. Before we get there, we're going to do a pre-fire, Ken. And that's where we're going to do a character breakdown of some each people. Now, David Arquette is the one of the co-stars in here. He plays Gordy. What do you think of Gordy?
Well, I know that David Arquette was a huge wrestling fan and still is, and actually did wrestle for a bit. So I think this was definitely a passion project for him. I liked him. I liked David Arquette, especially in 2000. Him and Scott Kahn were, you know, that level of zany craziness, teen drama thing that you needed, even though both of them were in their 30s at the time.
Yeah, they were your teen, well, I guess stars for teens.
Yes.
At the time, yeah. And that was, as you mentioned, Scott Kahn, who played Sean. And then we have, of course, we had all the wrestlers that were in there. We'll get to them. Joe Pantolino, who played Titus Sinclair. This was actually supposed to be I think Michael Douglas was either supposed to play this role, or they were going to get Eric Bischoff to play this role.
Yeah, this is definitely a WCW movie. So it would not have shocked me. And that was Eric Bischoff at that time in the 2000s or late 90s. That was his character. So,
yeah. And a little tidbit, it would have been Eric Bischoff, but he got fired before this movie.
He did.
And then we had DDP is, I guess, the main star wrestler being showcased on here. And then his co-star and opponent by Oliver Platt playing Jimmy King.
Yeah, seeing him as basically Jerry the King Lawler, but as Oliver Platt, love him, have always loved his films. It was definitely not believable for him to wrestle, quote unquote, but to be the washed up has-been wrestler to a T. Like, I don't think you could have gotten any better on that.
Funny thing is, he is what some wrestlers look like now compared to then. Yeah. That era of wrestling, it was like, unless you're that jacked up, juiced up freaking monster, it's like,
why are you? DDP was the only one on that card that was not juiced up, but he was the entertainer and could wrestle. So the DDP was kind of like the odd man out for the yoked up dudes.
And DDP was my favorite going into this movie. That's what pretty much what drawed me to it. Well, this was the height of WCW. This was WCW's peak when this thing started. All right. So with that said, let's get into it. So the movie opens up with the two fanboys, Gordy and Sean, are talking to a bunch of kids in the front of which is essentially a gas station or a freaking 7-Eleven, if you want to call it, because they're drinking Slurpees, and they're talking about wrestling. And I love that they did the whole montage of like going through the magazines, the Wrestling Insider, all of that. That was my teenage life right there. All I asked was, mom and dad, if you go to any of those stores, you get me a wrestling magazine. I was covered. I didn't read. I didn't like to read, but I would love to look at a wrestling magazine and think that I can read. That was the awesome thing for me. Seeing that whole thing played out, and then they did a dream sequence of Gordy when he teamed up. And I know you love this because he teamed up with the Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had a wrestling match in the convenience store. Jimmy King magically appears, crowned them. They win. You have the Nitro girls dancing in the background. And then Gordy wakes up with his nog knock. And And then he drank all his slushy. You know, Sean wanted some, and then he does this little trick that I wouldn't let anyone try to repeat.
Nope.
But he got a free slushy out of it again.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then we go. Sewage workers Gordy and Sean are huge professional wrestling fans. They seem to know a lot about the history, except for the fact that it is purely entertainment and is scripted. Of course, you're going to get a bunch of the tropes and all the thing that every big hardcore wrestling fan would. It's fake. It's scripted. Ladies and gentlemen, we understand that it's fake and scripted. We just don't give a shit. Their favorite wrestler is the world champion, Jimmy King, and who personifies a modern King character on TV. Unbeknownst to them, King is actually a low-life wrestler who is burnt out his fortune and didn't show much respect for his boss, Sinclair, and his family and coworkers, the other wrestlers. So Gordy and Sean got tickets to see WCW Nitro. So from that scene, what do you think so far? Did it give you the really goods of WCW again?
Oh, definitely. Like WCW was my jam. I loved Monday Night Nitro, Thursday Night Thunder. I have told the story a million times. Halloween Havoc 96. I will never forget it. It was the greatest day of young Ken's life, getting to meet his idol Macho Man, Randy Savage, in the flesh and get the autograph. That was, definitely a watershed moment for Ken's life.
Being older now and looking at it and knowing the whole kayfabe tropes and then the backstage on politicals, this movie was pretty accurate on how it depicted that backstage disputes and debates. I mean, they showed the kayfabe portions, everyone understands, but then if someone wanted to, it's their time to step up, or, Goldberg was a dick.
Yeah.
And he was in WCW. He was a true badass. If you were going to go to him and say that he was going to lose, who are you to freaking say that Goldberg's going to freaking lose? So it was nice that everything was authentic to that point. And how they portrayed Nitro. Loved it. And the arenas are exactly – they look huge on TV. And then when you're there, they shrink down so much. It's crazy. The nostalgia of the Nitro girls, the freaking pyro, freaking this is Rey Mysterio Jr. without a mask. And he looks exactly like his baby boy right now. And DDP coming out to his – he didn't have his, Not Another Teen Spirit theme.
No.
With the bang.
Diamond cutter and the cigar. And
everything. I loved how they portrayed if freaking wrestling was filmed like this, it'd be so much more exciting to watch, especially when the freaking – by the way, Rey Mysterio, when you saw him and he did that Herc run off the rope. That's what made him have knee problems from here on out.
Oh, no shit.
He either tore a tendon or he freaking broke his kneecap when he landed. And it's never been the same since. That's
crazy.
Led him to be braced up. But yeah, everything was good and exactly what fanboys would do when we freaking get there. I never got to leave my seat to go up to the front. I tell you what.
No, definitely did not happen.
WCW owner and promoter Sinclair is fed up with King's attitude and behaviors. He puts in a plan to screw the King out of his title and destroy him. To do so, he hires WCW wrestler Diamond Dallas Page, DDP, and his crew, and he books a match between King and DDP where he defends his title and keeps everyone backstage thinking that King is going to win. So Sean and Gordy go to WCW Nitro, believing they're about to witness another King victory. What ensues is their favorite wrestler getting beat up for real and losing his title and getting publicly fired in front of the WCW fans. After the match, They're on their way home in their truck. They are crying. They're super disappointed. They have allergies. And which leads to them crashing their septic tank truck on the road and spilling out all the shit for the fire department to clean up.
Good times. Definitely reminded me a lot of the Montreal Screwjob kind of trope.
Yes, that is actually what they were going for when they were making a movie. Yeah. Spread around. Look at your eye on this thing, dude.
I know. I'm telling you, I used to be good when it came to wrestling stuff. You know, I just had other things.
Yeah, what folks don't know, especially, you know, that me and Ken can attest, wrestling around this time, you were watching the news on ESPN of what happened on their nights. That's how cool wrestling was then. That's what The Rock is trying to bring back with wrestling today. That's why it's not called sports entertainment anymore. It's called professional wrestling. So they're trying to bring that back, which is nice. However, Gordy believes that the car crash was a fate and that they should help Jimmy King get his world title back. Sean agrees to help Gordy, and they become investigators and try to find the whereabouts of Jimmy King, and thus goes on their journey. The next day, they meet with Isaac, another nerdy fanboy. Played by Chris Owen, from famously from the American Pie movies. What is it? The Terminator.
Yeah.
this nerdy wrestling fan whose father seems to think that everything that he does is for pussies. they ask their new friend to use the internet to find knowledge, because he can find anything on the internet, and find out where this washed-up wrestler lives. Isaac seems to succeed in finding an address, and the boys go to the unexpected-looking neighborhood, which is, you know, sorry for my derogatory, the trailer park trashed area of where his supposed queen lives. Yeah. They find the King's estranged wife and his uneducated son, Frankie. who both happen to be exact opposites of what they expect the queen and the prince to be. So the wife reveals that King came and he left them a while ago to run off with another girl, a whore, as she calls it, and never return until, and she is looking for child support and alimony. And then because the son has braces and the father needs to pay for them, or the IRS is going to repossess them. they later meet his parents, who King borrowed, but essentially he stole their mobile home and then ran off to some type of a mobile home park. This brought everything grounded for me, because I'm watching this back when it was like, oh, this is a movie, you know, and they took everything from him. And then watching it now, it's like everything was so true with this. Majority of every wrestler that I idolized lived like this.
Yeah.
They did the drugs. They lived in freaking trailer parks. They lived in freaking cabs. They freaking got famous. They fucked up, did drugs, and freaking didn't give a shit with how they used their money, freaking fell off the freaking high pedestal and are now at the freaking rock bottom and have to freaking bring themselves up again. There was hardly any wrestlers who were like true, authentic, I guess, that freaking, you know, Superman, Clark Kent persona, I guess I'm trying to go for, the goody two-shoes person. Hardly any of them like that. So this kind of freaking took it away from me. It was like, holy shit, they're assholes in real life.
Yeah, I definitely felt that same way. I mean, I remember that was like trying to reconcile those two thoughts in your head when you were younger. Just didn't make sense. These things couldn't happen. But like, I know I've been watching like the documentaries on Annie, you know, and going, holy cow, like watching Roddy Piper, like the crap that he went to. Jake the Snake Roberts is ridiculous, the amount of crap that man has lived through and continues to live through. I get it. It was played for comedic relief, but hit a little close to home when you're thinking about, like, you know, that's, you know, the problem with idols is there's always a backside.
Yeah. Fortunately for me, The Rock has been true. I like it. It's been awesome. That's the hero, met him, and it's been awesome since. And Sting. Sting was the same way.
Sting is definitely the same way, yeah.
All right, so the duo finally find King, or is King a queen? We don't know. He is hiding in a trailer park. He is drunk and disguised as a woman. Afraid that Sinclair and his goons might be looking to inflict more pain upon him, after King gives them a $30 fee charge for a 5-minute encounter, they meet the King, and they have a conversation in which King claims he is officially retired and has given up on wrestling. Refusing to drop the subject, Gordy and Sean, with their stupidity, anger the King to the point where he suddenly attacks them, the two boys. This was awesome because it reminded me of home with, you know, my dad, or playing with my friends, especially at school. Because I love to think that I'm the reason why wrestling puts "do not try this at home" ads on the screen, because we were doing exactly. You bought wrestling buddies, damn it. If you're selling wrestling buddies, you're telling me to do this at home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for video games, because it saved furniture. The boys encourage King to beat them up in order to convince him that he can still fight and that he should fight DDP again. King accepts the offer, knocks out the boys with his finishing move. He crowns them. And then the two boys wake up the next day, wakey wakey, hands off sneaky, and then find somewhat a sober Jimmy King ready to take a shot at wrestling again. So yeah, the backyard wrestling aspect of it, I loved it. This was awesome.
Yeah, the montage was amazing.
And the whole tidbit of him having to be in disguise, and then the Sinclair is trying to sink his goons on. This was, if you watched on like, there got YouTube videos of it too, the dark side of the ring.
Yeah.
Some places were doing that shit too. Where if someone was too high for the company, they'd freaking be taken down a peg. And it's like, holy shit. Steven Seagal. You know, he was a freaking big ass action star. Freaking, you would think he's a badass fighter. And then he got wind of the mob. The mob freaking kidnapped him, and they freaking put him in his place. So it's like, shit. That shit really does happen.
It does.
While on the road to the WCW arena, Gordy sends letters to his father, the overzealous cop who wanted Gordy to follow in his footsteps. Touch base with me too, because I want to be a cop too. Gordy tells his father that he will not be taking the police test, and which makes him angry and shoots everything. Which I love that freaking actor too. Yeah. They arrive at the WCW arena, where they hide King in a porta potty, and they stash King, and then Sean and Gordy go meet the Nitro girls. Yep. This was us back then.
That was the exact same thing.
Not your girl's locker room. They weren't naked. They were just in underwear. But you teenage boys, they were naked.
That was enough for us.
DDP shoots a backstage promo mocking the King, Jimmy King pops out of porta potty, hitting them with a freaking toilet lid, assaulting DDP. King then asks for a rematch from Sinclair, because the King knocks DDP out. You know, this is a paying homage to our hardcore matches.
Yeah.
Knocks him out, gets the pinfall, and he crowns himself champion again. However, Sinclair breaks it up, and then they make a deal, in which case King has to agree to a match, but it's at the conditions of Sinclair. It's not a one count or a tap out. It's a survive this match, a match that it will be a triple cage match. a cage on top of a cage on top of a cage.
That's right. Because one cage was never enough for us.
Yep. So for whoever wins that match, they will get the championship and $1 million. So everything will happen once in that match. So yes. Then it's just montage leading up to that match. Later that night, during the after party, Gordy strikes a conversation with Sasha. She is supposedly the hottest Nitro girl. Honestly, compared to the other ones, but
yeah, Rose McGowan was pretty in her powers at that time.
It was funny because she was coming off of they were coming off of the Scream where they both played brother and sister. Now they're playing love interests. Funny how that works. They flirt with each other, in which case we later find out she's a mole trying to get information. Meanwhile, King is panicking. He wants to get the hell out of there because he knows that they are going to try to kill him any chance they get. So the boys say that he needs backup. He needs to build up his crew again. So they go to a gym where they find the greatness himself, Bill Goldberg, working out. King tries to recruit Goldberg. However, you don't ever talk to freaking Goldberg down like that and then pointing your finger at his freaking big ass pectoral chest. In which case, with one hand, he freaking sends the King flying. And obviously, Goldberg works alone. Instead, the boys find a instructor, if you will, a coach, in the man Sal Mendini, who will teach King how to be an actual wrestler again, because he's not about the glitz and the glamour. And I guess Sal is supposed to portray Stu Hart from the Hart Dungeon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was nice, too. They go through a bunch of montages of freaking Sal kicking King's ass and nuts at the same time. The giblets. That night, Sal is assaulted and injured by WCW wrestlers Sid Vicious and Perry Saturn. While at the hospital, the group checks on Sal. Gordy overhears. Mind you, Gordy had a date with Sasha, Super Nitro Girl, in which case he showed her some moves in a bedroom match. We don't know the results of the bedroom match. I'm assuming he won.
Probably.
But Gordy overhears on the phone that Sasha is speaking with Sinclair, finally confronts that she is a mole. And he ends the eventually is going to end the relationship. Sal, speaking to the King, encourages the King to go through with the match, but advises him to hide until then. Because you want to attack the opponent's strengths, not their weaknesses. You attack their strengths. No one expects you to attack the strengths. Gordy and Sean take the King to their hometown in Lusk, Wyoming. The King, on the way, the King eventually meets his wife, who admits his love for his wife, apologizes for his behavior. And then she responds by kicking him in the nuts. And then she apologizes for kicking him in the nuts, picks him up, and then does it again.
It was a big trope in this movie. It was a lot of kicks in the nuts. That's why it was funny back in 2000.
And that is why it's your signature move, my friend. Because it's still effective.
It holds up. Yeah.
He tells her that he's going to win that $1 million and he is going to get her out of her funk and then get his son the best damn dentist possible. Upon arriving at in Wyoming, Gordy is intercepted by his father, in which case the father takes him, says you will take the police tests. It puts a funk in Sean and Jimmy King's duo because Gordy has to answer to his father. They all go into a montage of meeting the different Hicks that try out to be on their posse, especially Pretty Kitty. Mm-hmm. King and Sean hold auditions. And then meanwhile, after auditions, King is rejuvenated, I guess, and confident. Sean meets up with Wendy, another fangirl from his hometown. He first thought as one of the guys, but then realizes that they develop a soft spot for her. And she was also infatuated with him. He gives her a special gift, a New York Hard Rock Cafe shirt. Which, by the way, I got a Hard Rock Cafe shirt in Guam from Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I understand that was a special gift. When you go to places that don't have those are special gifts, folks.
It's true.
They confess their love for each other, and then they have sex in the freaking mobile home. The night of the match. Now it's on to the pay-per-view. King is really nervous. He is joined by Sean, dressed in a freaking orange pimped outfit. Both King and DDP make their entrances. Again, I love DDP's entrance. I just wish they had his actual theme. King makes his entrance, tells Sean to watch out for the pyro. Sean then listens. Sean is on fire. The fight quickly becomes a nightmare for King when it is revealed that DDP's goons will be hiding under the ring and therefore are inside the cage with them. One of the goons is a masked wrestler who turns out to be King's son, Frankie, who does not hesitate to attack his father. As King is getting beaten up by the goons, out comes the WCW heroes led by Goldberg. You got Booker T, Billy Kidman, and Disco Inferno. I'm surprised Disco Inferno, but I guess he was kind of a big thing going in there. He was always a mid-carder.
Yeah.
Who finally decide to go to the ring to help King. Unfortunately, they can't get through the cage. The presentation, this is all a freaking what a movie match should look like. The fact that they try to do this in real life was the dumbest thing ever, which led to the demise of WCW, but we'll get into that. They can't get into the cage. It is locked, obviously. Which, I mean, Goldberg should definitely be able to freaking break that damn
lock. He would have, yeah.
Goldberg. However, Gordy makes his entrance. He does a freaking jump from the rafters and breaks through the cage with his bike sliding through the ring. Everyone goes in there. It's an all-out world. A war. Diamond upside down is a pussy. Freaking Gordy does a spear. Goldberg does his freaking badass spear. All hell breaks loose. Meanwhile, DDP and King make it up to the top of the cages and start to get bloody. They get knocked down, get back up, then get knocked down again. When they finally make it to the top, DDP knocks down King. So it looks like DDP is about to win it. But what happens? And this is freaking Ken's magic moment right here. We get the freaking Sting music. He freaking swings down from the Raptors like fucking Batman, knocks down DDP. DDP falls down to the first cage. His music still playing in the background. It must be in freaking outdoor arena because it was super windy, because Sting stands right on top of that cage with his freaking long coat flailing in the freaking wind with his music playing in the background. That's Batman moment right there.
Yes, 100%. And Sting is a badass, which you forgot to point out that Sinclair tried to get Sting to do what he wanted, but Sting never said a word, which was always Sting's shtick.
Yes. Thank you, sir. I missed that. And what was all the greatness was staying, which is weird because he started to talk down. He freaking climbed down. Jimmy's all right by me. The fan guys are freaking astounded. We're freaking Sting. You love King. We love King. We both love men. We're not afraid to say that we both love men. And then they both get knocked out by Sting. It's even awesome. So DDP and King finally climb up on top of the freaking cages again. Jimmy King says that he yells out he's fighting for himself, his self-respect. And he knocks down DDP, who goes through all two of the cages because it's stacked up as a pyramid. Goes through the two cages, falling down to the mat where someone would be dead. But I guess freaking Mick Foley's
definitely magic,
still living. Yeah. But he knocks down. The music tempo changes. Jimmy King grabs the title. He is world champion again and has the $1 million prize. Sinclair is on the outside. The fans are freaking throwing shit at him. And this was WCW crowd was known for throwing shit at the freaking ring. Popcorn, drinks, whatever it is.
It's
freaking being thrown. Gordy and Sean intercept Sinclair, saying that you didn't make wrestling. The fans did. So they throw Sinclair into the audience and he gets freaking beaten up to a pulp in the crowd. Mean Gene, we got other people in. I forgot we had Mean Gene was in there. You had freaking was it Bob Baker was in there doing the announcement. So Mean Gene is in there. He's interviewing King. Said, "Hey, you just won the title. The tag team titles should be in your rear, in your freaking ahead of you. What do you think?" And that's where Goldberg intervenes and says, "Hey, if you're looking to partner, I'm willing to do it." But King respectfully denies his offer and says, "I'm going to have Gordy be my tagging partner with our manager, Sean." And then it ends with them back at the gas station again. Sean's telling the story to the kids of their time in the wrestling. The kids don't believe it. They're saying, "Why are you here?" And then Goldberg throws the freaking cashier guy out the freaking door. In which case he says to Goldberg, I am your bitch and you're my daddy. And then they go into a freaking Hummer limo with a freaking jacuzzi in the back with Sal with the Nitro girls. And they drive off into the sunset. Awesome, awesome early 2K movie. Loved it as a wrestling fan.
100%. it was one of those movies that I remember watching on loop when I was younger, and then coming back to watch this one, I could not have thought of a better way of intertwining Max Destruction with the Mania recap. And I am so glad that we did. I think we'll go ahead and hit this week's Wham.
Wham.
And in honor of you, my friend, I do believe we will be putting Jimmy King up as this week's Wham. Awesome. I think we did. This is one of our longest episodes, but I feel like the audience needed it. I think we will hold off until next week to discuss what new ventures we are going to be getting into. So subscribe for us, guys. Definitely follow us on social medias, and hit up the rest of the Dynamike Network. They're always hoping for some scraps off the Max Destruction table, to include all the gold that myself and the Macho Scotty Camacho has in store.
Speaking of which, though, I did have a simulation where we defended our tag titles. It was against Cinder World team, in which case, of course, we won, Ken. We won. However, I went one-on-one with Johnny DC and I lost the network title for us. So they
have to get it back, but I'm okay with the fact that a fellow DC brethren got it, honestly.
Yeah,
so I mean, if it's going to be anybody, I'm glad it's somebody in the family.
Yeah, bittersweet, but congratulations to Johnny DC's Avatar, but Dynamic Duel has some sort of gold with them. Yes.
All right, guys, that's going to be it for us. Stay tuned for next week. We are hitting up a pretty awesome duel, and we can't wait to share it with you. That will be our sneak peek. With that being said, let's get the mania.
Smell what Max Destruction is cooking. Awesome.